It is time for Real News with Brian Ross, and I hope he's on the other end of this phone line. Good morning,
Indeed,
Brian.
Indeed, he is. Yes. Good morning.
How are you, Brian?
Very well. Well, big day in Washington. The wheels up for the president, and will he leave the country head a deal pocket or not?
You know, it's so interesting to look at this. I mean, you've got two very conservative Democrats, which we would normally call Dixiecrats.
Or dinos, Democrats, in name only,
yeah.
Right?
But that really have, I guess, the final slap in the face to progressives and liberals is the removal from the package of paid leave. Once again, that was taken out of the package to get the support of both those senators. Do I think it's going to pass? You know, I think they'll do it, but they've just done so much infighting. I don't know whether the damage can be repaired in the Democratic Party or not.
It's really interesting, and, you know, the optics of it are that, well, just whittled down. It's still, you know, $1.5 to $2 trillion.
Yeah.
It's a huge amount
package
of money.
Yeah.
And what they could finally include will not be what everybody, all the things everybody wants, but still a substantial, I think, upgrade to the lives of Americans, given universal pre-K and perhaps some expanded Medicare and Medicaid. You know, there could be good things, but the strange thing is here that they cannot even get agreement between the two sort of recalcitrant Democrats. Sinema and Manchin are not on the same page on everything themselves.
It's going to be it'll be interesting. I tend to think they will settle something and get it done, just simply because if not, they will have thrown away in the midterm elections with a year to go.
Right.
I think as a purely political decision, they'll get this done. And you're right, it's a huge package, a very big package, not as big as what was initially proposed, but it's a package nonetheless. But another thing out of Washington was the Republican senators, how they went after Merrick Garland. And
oh my God,
you know what? I guess I wouldn't mind them going after Merrick Garland, but go after it with real facts. You know, with substantial charges. No.
Well, talk about playing for the cameras. That's what that was, with each one trying to outdo the other in terms of demand you resign, you're a disgrace. You know, I guess the optics of the Washington hearing have never changed. Both sides do it. But it was pretty raw, I think, for a man like Mr. Garland, you know, who's one of the most distinguished judges. Should have been on the Supreme Court and stood and listened to them. That's just how it works in Washington. You know, they say, if you want a friend in Washington, get a dog.
Now, here's another story that popped up that I can't understand. I disagree with Donald Trump on 99.99999% of anything in politics, and probably about 99.99% anything in his personal life. But at the Wall Street Journal, reporters have objected an opinion section printing a letter from the former president. You see, I can't stand for that. I mean, opinion pages are opinion pages, no matter who gives the opinion.
Well, yes, they are. But if there are, you know, you can't. I think the fact is that he's putting in lies, known unfactual statements that, you know, he can have an opinion, but, you know, the facts are the facts.
Well, they can print the letter and then point out the lies and the facts with the letter. I mean, it's a slippery slope, and you know it's quite nice not seeing him on Twitter and Facebook. And it really is for me. It's much more relaxing having Sleepy Joe at the helm and coming on with what he does. Even though, like I said, I don't always agree with everything that with Joe Biden does. Well, anyway, so Washington.
Yeah, let me just add one thing there. It's sort of a First Amendment absolutist, so I sort of find myself there, that I don't think it's that great that we are silencing a former president. He's got something to say. People follow him. You know, I think it's fine to fact check him, but to shut him off just because we don't want to hear him, I'm not sure that's a great thing for this country, because if they can do it to Trump, they'll do it to somebody else later.
Yeah, sooner or later. That's exactly right. Now, so Washington is a mess. Joe Biden is going to go out and try to reassure with these visits that he makes, these trips that he makes, really tries to reassure what this country is all about.
Well, and he's putting his prestige on the line, you know, before he delayed or pushed back his trip to Europe just a bit. So I understand he's up to Capitol Hill today to sort of last-ditch effort to say, listen, we've got to get on board here. We've got to be on the same page. And we'll see if the Democrats can put aside, you know, the progressives and the centrists and the conservatives. You know, one of the things with the Democratic Party is it's a broader umbrella. They have such a slim majority. As Mr. Biden said, every senator is a president. That's it. Joe mentioned this, enjoying wielding his power. You can just see it in his body language.
All right. Now, as an investigative reporter, I have to ask you a question. How in the world, in today's world, with what goes on with guns, can there be on a movie set where they can do amazing things with CGI and everything else, how can there be live ammo in live guns? I just don't understand it.
Pretty darn sloppy, and people are going to pay for this. I think there's this in prison time coming, and certainly we're never going to see this movie, and people who did it, including Baldwin, are going to face years of civil lawsuits. From what I read, they would put live ammo in to go plinking. They'd shoot beer cans when they're waiting for the movie to move on, when they're resetting the lighting. The crew would go off and shoot beer cans during lunchtime, which is, violates every policy and sort of procedure that's supposed to be there for safety. So pretty sloppy. Whoever's running that production has got some very serious explaining to do.
Taking a look at the world, the truth finally comes out of Russia as Moscow is really basically shutting down. They have a huge COVID explosion over there, and probably with people following what happens in the United States, they have a very big contingent of people in Russia that don't believe in the vaccinations as well.
Exactly. Well, it's not limited to the U.S. We like to think we're a more enlightened, well-educated country, but this notion of putting something in your body is troubling for many people. Some just fear the needle. I mean, I think probably if these were pills instead of shots, it might have gone down easier. And, one thing I was troubled by, Marshall, is to see that here they are about to approve a vaccine for children, mm-hmm. but a third of a normal dose between the ages of 5 and 11, up to under 12 and up now you can get the vaccine. And only about a third of the parents said they would readily, that's the key word, go out and get their kids vaccinated, even though they plan to do it through family doctors and pediatricians, which means like 65% are not so sure about it.
And some of them, I was reading a story on this. Some of these parents want to wait till it's not called an experimental drug anymore, but you know what? Like, this is just, when I was growing up, I can tell you, I don't know how many vaccination shots I got. I know that if you go in the armed forces, you get vaccinated. And I understand there's a certain segment of people, not only in this country, but the world, who don't believe in vaccinations, who don't believe in what modern medicine does. I'm fine. That's not a huge percentage. But when you start getting up to, like you just said, so many people with kids and even so many adults, almost 35-40% of the adults, for political reasons, don't believe in vaccinations. I just shake my head at that. It's almost like somebody wrote a movie, and you wouldn't believe it would happen.
I know, and it's interesting. I've looked a little bit at the history of the 1918 influenza pandemic, and there was no vaccine, but there was huge resistance to masks back then. There is something, I don't know, it's in the American DNA to sort of not want to have the government tell you what to do, even though it's good for you, and it's proven to be good for you. It's strange, but, trying to live with it, talking to a leading infectious disease expert yesterday, Dr. William Schaffner down at Vanderbilt, who says, given the current trends, he expects the pandemic in this country will be over by midwinter. We'll be back to epidemic. We can deal with it like the flu.
It's just amazing. And we were talking last time we were on the air about the cities in China that have been built that are basically empty and can house the entire population of Germany. Well, now China, and this goes along with their big problem, with their big financial problems that are,
right.
They've now restricted building these huge buildings just for glory's sake. No longer, they're going to ban any buildings in any city now taller than 500 meters. This is all a big shakedown from that big, huge real estate company that's just really affected China's economy.
Yeah, talk about a real estate bubble. The thing's about to collapse. And, of course, if that happens, it will have, you know, ramifications around the world, really, for the economies of everyone. Everyone's watching this very, very closely. You know, the bubble may be about to burst on the Chinese economy.
And if a bubble bursts, and this is what people in this country, not all people, but probably a majority of people don't understand, the bubble bursts there, guess what? The bubble once again is going to burst here because we're back in the same position where people are getting loans for cars and houses that shouldn't get loans.
Well, yes, yeah, and they're supposed to have sort of changed policies. You don't have these, you know, pushing out loans too much, but it still goes on. And with the low rates, everybody thinks they can borrow as much money as they can. So it's troubling. Like I'm seeing this morning reports about how the economy is stalling a bit because of the Delta variant, the supply chain hiccups. You know, we're not quite out of the woods. We're still feeling the hangover effect of the pandemic.
Now, Brian, another Friday and some more disturbing news, but we'll see what happens with Joe Biden flying off and see if the Democrats can get their act together, and I'll check with you next week.
All right, and a belated happy birthday to you.
And to you, too.
We have the same birthday. Imagine that.
I think we share it with Johnny Carson, too. I'm not sure.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
Well. All right, Brian, take care.
Bye-bye.
Brian Ross and Real News here on Robin Hood Radio. You can always find Brian on our on-demand page, robinhoodradio.com. Click on Real News with Brian Ross.